It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk about the role military caregivers play in American society and the challenges facing them on a day-to-day basis.
First, we're talking about the U.S. Supreme Court decision today to lift another limit on campaign donations. The court ruled 5-4 that Americans have the right to give the legal maximum to candidates for president and Congress, in addition to parties and to political action camp committees, without worrying about a limit on their total donations.
Analysts are calling this decision the most important campaign finance decision since the controversial 2010 Citizens United ruling that allowed corporations, labor unions, and associations to donate to political campaigns in effect like individuals do.
Amy Howe is with us now. She's editor and reporter at the U.S. Supreme Court blog at SCOTUSblog.com. Amy, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what was the original case that brought this issue before the Supreme Court? Let's go back there.
Sure. This is a case that was filed by a man named Sean McCutcheon, who's an Alabama businessman. And federal election law has two limits on the kinds of contributions that you can make. The first limit is called the base limit, and that means that you can give $2,600 per election to a candidate for federal office. And that was not at issue in the decision today. But there's also what we call aggregate limits, total limits. During a two-year election cycle, you can donate up to approximately $50,000 to candidates for federal office and then another $75,000 to political parties and political action committees. And so Sean McCutcheon said, I want to be able to give the base limit to more candidates than I otherwise would be able to under federal law.
Now, as I understand it, the ruling came down based on the equating of free speech with money. Can you break that down, how that was applied?
Sure. So the decision, that's one of the very first lines in the decision by Chief Justice John Roberts, and he says, you know, there's no right more basic in our democracy than the right to participate in electing our political leaders, including by contributing to our candidate's campaign. And that right, the court said today, is protected by the First Amendment, but it's not absolute. And so Congress can regulate campaign contributions the way, you know, for other First Amendment rights can be regulated or limited, but only to protect against corruption or the appearance of corruption.
And so just to understand how this works, you can still, the cap of $2,600 to a federal candidate is still there, but now a donor can give it to as many candidates as they like.
Exactly right. Sean McCutcheon wasn't challenging what's known as the base limits, the $2,600 cap. The court said that's not before us, but the court did strike down these aggregate limits. They said that Congress can regulate these campaign contributions to protect against corruption or the appearance of corruption, but we're talking about a very specific kind of corruption, what's known as quid pro quo corruption. And so, you know, the idea that you give money, you get something directly in return. The court said, you know, just getting access to a candidate or to a member of Congress isn't enough.
Now, the decision split the court on conservative and liberal lines. Can you talk a little bit about how the justices thought and how they went on this one?
Sure. The decision did break down on conservative, what we think of as the conservative and liberal lines. And so Chief Justice John Roberts wrote a decision for four justices, himself, Justices Scalia, Kennedy, and Alito, that struck down the aggregate campaign contributions. Justice Thomas agreed in the result. He agreed that the aggregate limits should be struck down, but he would have gone even further and you know, written an opinion that did away with a 1976 decision that drew a distinction between contributions to a candidate and spending by a candidate. And so he would have gone even further and in all likelihood would have invalidated not only the aggregate limits but the base limits.
I want to read a quote here from the president of the public interest group, Democracy 21. He said, the Supreme Court has turned our representative system of government into a sandbox for America's billionaires and millionaires to play in. Now, that's the argument for stricter campaign finance reform or for holding the line, at least. What happened with that argument in the court?
Well, that argument did find four votes. It just didn't find five. And so that was one of the points that Justice Stephen Breyer, who wrote for himself and the three female justices on the court, Ginsburg, Sotomayor, and Kagan. And one of their primary arguments in the dissent was that the court defines corruption too narrowly, that it's not about, you know, something that's essentially bribery, but it is, in fact, you know, the idea that if you have more money, you have more access is anathema to our system. And if you have a system, the one that the court created today, people are going to feel like they don't have a role in government because they're not rich. The argument goes that one of the lines from his dissent was that a few donations should not be able to drown out the voices of the many.
Now, this is being billed as the biggest ruling on campaign finance and contributions for a long time. How do you see this playing out in the coming elections, the midterms?
Well, you know, it's interesting because on the one hand, they got rid of the aggregate limits and left the base limits. But on the other hand, and this was a point that came up at the oral argument, you know, there are not a lot of people who have, you know, even $123,000 to contribute during a two-year cycle. And so, you know, you certainly will see more money from really rich people, but it's not clear exactly what effect this is going to have. There's more to the decision. The decision only dealt today with these aggregate limits, but some people who are very knowledgeable about campaign finance law have suggested that it could be the first step towards invalidating the base limits and perhaps reopening the door for what's known as soft money, which is money collected by political parties to come back in and make an appearance for future decisions by the Supreme Court striking down more campaign finance regulations. So it's on the one hand, it does certainly strike down the aggregate limits, but I think there's a concern from supporters of campaign finance regulation that it's also, you know, another foot in the door towards striking down more regulations in the future.
And if that would happen, I'm assuming it would also be on the grounds that the First Amendment needs to be protected and that money is equivalent to free speech in this case. And I wonder if you could talk just a moment about how the free speech argument that prevailed today evolved over the past several years.
This is something, you know, the Roberts Court has now struck down several campaign finance regulations, and there are five justices on the Supreme Court who really do believe that, you know, that the ability to spend money in a campaign is a right that's protected by the First Amendment and the right to contribute money. And so this is something that has happened sort of piecemeal over the last couple of years, and you know, it's gotten to where we are today, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes going forward.
Have you seen any response? We know Russ Feingold was not able to comment on this, but what about John McCain?
You know, I saw a post on Twitter from John McCain, and you know, he was obviously not, didn't look like he was very happy with the decision. He was, you know, along with Russ Feingold, one of the authors of this campaign finance regulation.
So looking forward, do you expect this to be something that is a future battleground in coming years, or is this you're going to be compartmentalized and stay as it is?
I think that this court probably, you know, that we obviously a lot of it will depend on how the membership of the court changes in the years to come. But certainly, this is a court that is very supportive of the First Amendment generally, and you know, five justices of campaign finance deregulation more specifically. And you know, I do think we'll continue to see, you know, we'll see federal laws probably being struck down, corresponding state laws, and you know, we may well get to a point where that, you know, the system is, there's a lot more money going into politics than we've had really at any point.
Have you heard any rumblings from individual states who might have analogous campaign donation limits already on the books?
You know, I think there is a question about a Texas law. There are states that have a flat ban on corporate contributions. And so there are, between the federal system and the state system, I think we'll see this playing out over the next couple of years in all different kinds of contexts.
Amy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Amy Howe, editor and reporter at the U.S. Supreme Court blog, with us to talk about today's ruling on campaign finance.